please listen carefully.
Hello, universe. Welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Summers McKay.
And I'm Christy Jansen, and we're part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of news media and the direction of your day to one focused on solutions.
7 days a week, we publish positive news stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. And now we are sharing these solutions in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, home office-worthy, play in the park with your 11-month-old daughter-worthy podcast. Hey, and Christy, can we take just like a second? Because my cat is locked outside and he's meowing and banging at the door. So
let Copper in.
I'm going to let Copper in. All right, then. Let's get back to it. Today is Tuesday, July 14th, 2020. How does Tuesday look to you so far, Christy?
I don't really know. I have a couple of things I'm working on. I have a script I'm writing and some other things. I have finished getting my taxes together because tomorrow is tax day.
You know, we filed our taxes back on February 1st. We were super ahead of the game and we still haven't gotten any word back because they closed tax offices basically in March, and then the focus shifted to COVID relief payments. And so pretty much I kind of wish we'd waited to file our taxes, because I mean, it's nice to have it done, but really no need to have had it done. No refund came. Okay, so a couple things I want to talk about. One, Christy and I had this very meaningful conversation this morning about our experiences at work and how they reflect on us as people. And we had this very heartfelt conversation about how when you have a job that you love, that has deep intrinsic benefits, like we do at the Optimist Daily, it can be really difficult to separate your sense of self from work. However, if you don't separate your sense of self from work, the two can get really, really muddled and it can get pretty emotional and stressful. I think that is even further exacerbated by working from home, not having that separation of work-life balance, which I've never really believed in the phrase work-life balance anyway. But I just think that a lot of people out there right now are probably having that mixing and merging, kind of like we talked about yesterday, that husbands and wives and couples everywhere are feeling very frustrated that they're carrying a bigger load. I think, like Christy and me, and probably Amelia and everyone on our team, everyone just like give yourself a break, separate yourself from your work. Know you are not your job. Even if you love your job with all your heart, your job is still just your job. And you exist without it. That's my wisdom for today. Christy, how do you feel about that wisdom?
I think it's pretty astute. And as you reminded me, because you were actually my counselor today, which was really great, one of the things that this moment has gifted us is the opportunity to take a pause. And that's something that we have to do. And I think I've mentioned on the podcast before, but we did win a grant with some of other nonprofit organizations from a granting group called Invoking the Pause. And that is about supporting climate action. So that grant was to produce the climate anxiety webinar, which is coming up next month. But
what is the date of that webinar? Is it
that will be on August 7th? Yes. And it will feature the really, really brilliant woman, Renee Lertzman. And I'm very excited about that. So we're in the process of putting that together with Lertzman and PsychAlive and the World Business Academy. And that's an exciting one. But the whole concept of invoking the pause and taking a breath and thinking about how things are right now and taking a look at that and then how we'd like them to be, which I think is so important. It's getting out of reactive thinking and reactive movement and instead adding some reflection and taking proactive measures, building back to better.
Exactly. There's a phrase called that you could should all over yourself, right? You could should have. And instead of in reflection, looking at the choices you did make or the choices we did make as a society and say, what will we do differently and what will we do better? The lead story on the Optimist Daily today, which I don't think we'll go into, but the headline is very simple. It just says this pandemic led to the biggest drop in emissions in human history. We joke that Mother Nature sent us all to our rooms and said, think about what you've done.
Yeah. But
I am so grateful that people I have never had conversations with about recycling and about not using, you know, non-recyclable plastic dog bags, and people that I have never talked about the importance of the footprint we have in this world are suddenly listening and thinking about what we can get back to better. Mm-hmm. And it's been a challenging time, obviously, and challenging times are ahead. I know that as a family, we are really struggling with what education looks like for our high schooler in this next year. Los Angeles Unified just announced that they would not be having in-person classes in the fall. Ava's school has not also made that decision, so that's pretty concerning to us. But all of those things aside, there are the silver linings, and there are things that we've learned.
Yeah, and I think the important thing is just to take this reflection and then learn from it, not just go back. Anyway, yes, so that is the goal and that is the ideal.
Let's talk about the headlines today. And do you want to kick it off since I greeted the universe?
I certainly will. Yes, the one that I decided to focus on was the headline from our urban development section that Lisbon is going to turn short-term rentals into affordable housing for key workers. And I just think this is such an important thing that we really have to grapple with in our society, you know, California especially, just the limited options for affordable housing has pushed essential workers, teachers, people who are of modest incomes to the fringes of our cities. And this is hurting us in so many ways. And what's happened in Lisbon is that tourism has been a huge part of their economic driver. But with the shutdowns, tourism has basically evaporated. It's definitely a problem, but what it has led to is a reversal of a trend that they were seeing in a lot of their housing, where instead of being apartments available for people to rent, they were turned into Airbnb type of short-term rentals, and it helped to price out a lot of the local residents. So if you were a nurse or a grocery worker or a teacher or a sanitation person, it suddenly became impossible for you to afford to live in the city centers. And then those became posh pads for foreign tourists to rent. But now that there aren't any foreign tourists, no posh ones or otherwise, those are sitting empty. And this is an opportunity the city is now jumping on to fill some of those vacancies by bringing residents back. And it's an initiative by the city's mayor, Fernando Medina, and it's going to be funded by the city, but it's boosting affordable housing by giving landlords taxation perks. And it's a program that for 5 years is called the Secure Income Program. If you sign up for it as a landlord in Lisbon, there's a guaranteed monthly income for 5 years, and it will be exempt from paying income tax on that rent. It's a partnership with the city and private landlords to actually make housing available and affordable for its key workers and people who, you know, the city needs to operate. And it's got great societal benefits, but it also could help boost sustainability of the city as fewer people driving, less long commutes, less harmful emissions, or keeping the emissions suppressed as they are right now because there's not as much traffic as usual. And I just think this is a really interesting thing to watch. Other cities in Europe are taking similar steps. The deputy mayor of Paris is working on some housing that is in line with this, which will drop short-term rentals and instead emphasize local residents having more affordable housing. I'm interested to see if we do see in cities in the United States as well. And so I just think this is a great solution. It's something that could be one of the answers to trying to bring more housing stock into the market in a way that is affordable for the regular person.
Well, and particularly in Lisbon, they had such a large number of residences that had shifted to the short-term rentals. And that in certain areas in the United States has happened. I happen to live in a very, very heavy vacation home area, and we make it our full-time residence. But we have noticed actually an increase in the usage of Airbnbs in our neighborhood as people are looking to getting out of their houses and getting into a new space. And so while our community in particular is not an appropriate community that would become affordable housing for critical workers simply because we're in a pretty remote area, it has oddly enough been a bit of a boon for our neighborhood in that people are coming here because they are trying to get out of the highly dense urban situations. Mm-hmm. So we talk a lot about housing and housing options and housing security on the Optimist Daily. It's a big thing that is of concern to us. And last week, I think the story basically about participation ownership for renters was a really, really great story that I know we're going to continue to explore. And I just think that the way that we've looked at traditional real estate in the world is shifting. If you're spending, you know, 50% of your income on your housing, it really prevents growth in other areas. And I think that that's going to shift a lot. So I'm excited to see this in Lisbon.
Yesterday, I think the story I talked about was making internet access a basic human right. I think that's a great idea, but I really think having decent, affordable housing as a human right, that's like the first part.
Yeah.
And for so many people who are inadequately housed or insecure in their housing or even unsheltered altogether, that's not how a modern advanced society should work in an appropriate way. That's why I'm always so interested in housing as a topic and as something that we have to build solutions around. And it might mean that we have to really rethink how real estate is owned and distributed and used.
Some of our listeners are going to think that sounds crazy, but I think that it doesn't have to be quite the pendulum. I think Christy and I both kind of sit more in a centrist perspective, that it doesn't have to be a socialized housing circumstance. It doesn't have to be quite that swing of pendulum. And like Lisbon is doing, offering tax incentives and structures to allow both the property owners to benefit as well as the residents to benefit. And I think that is where the solutions are in the nuanced opportunities, right? And this is one that I think is well worth looking into. You know, it's like the donut model that we saw in the Netherlands. We have to look at these models and take from them the very best and figure out ways that they can work in our communities all over the world.
Each community is going to be unique and has to apply the solutions in a way that makes sense for them. Talking about nuanced solutions, Summers, what's your headline?
Well, I'm going to get a bit boozy here at early morning. It's my Tuesday morning cocktail here. The headline reads, Johnny Walker whiskey to come in plastic-free paper bottles starting in 2021. So actually, this morning, I emptied out our fridge. We have a new farm box coming. The fridge was just full of leftovers and half-used bottles of very old, you know, very old salad dressings. And so I cleaned out the fridge this morning, and I was really struck at just how many products I was rinsing containers and tossing them in the recycling, which we talked about yesterday as well. And I thought, you know, there has to be a way of having less impact, but also having a family of five with people going in all directions. Like, I need less impact. And then I turned to this headline about Johnny Walker. Now, I'm not suggesting that I swap out salad dressing for Johnny Walker, but I do love that Diageo, who is the biggest spirits maker in the world, recently announced that along with their venture management company, Pilot Light, they have created a sustainable packaging company called PulpX Limited. So PulpX Limited is creating 100% recyclable paper-based bottles and containers that can be used for salad dressings, liquids, Johnny Walker, and some other things that they have in here is like Lipton tea, soda maker PepsiCo are also going to use it. These paper products are fully recyclable. They also have a lower impact in the manufacture and creation of them. And they reduce the packaging footprint and the packaging size. So we all, you know, get pretty frustrated about the ubiquity of Amazon boxes and all of the other paper products that we see. But these paper products are fully recyclable. So I was very excited to see that my Johnny Walker, which I'm not really a Johnny Walker drinker. I'm kind of more of a wine drinker. and I have dabbled in box wine, I will admit. But I'm just pretty excited to see that this is an entire packaging company led by the largest manufacturer of spirits in the world and a venture capital entity. And I'm just excited to see where it goes. I know, like a lot of the stories I talk about from the business section, when we see one business making a good choice, we hope it leads other businesses to do the same. Last week, we talked about Evian's paper-free plastic bottles that are fully recyclable. Today, I think there's an article about Unilever that we'll talk about as well. When big businesses make decisions that are good for the world and they can demonstrate that good for the world is good for the business, that is a win. And so I was really excited to see this one today.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting because packaging is really one of those hidden parts of the food chain that has a massive impact on the environment. Paper is more sustainably sourced than plastic. Yeah. Although it has its own issues.
It has an impact.
It has an impact.
Absolutely.
But it's interesting to see this. And I'm very curious to know how they are coming out. This is like, could be a brilliant chemical material kind of engineering solution, because having spirits housed in paper bottles that are fully recyclable and non-toxic. It's interesting to see how material engineering can transform an industry from the bottom up, inside out. And it could bode well for storing our liquids.
Exactly. Our most important liquids. You know, box water, Johnny Walker.
You know, talking about soda iced tea, you know, whatever we're drinking, if it's going to be packaged, I like that it's going to be packaged in something that isn't so tremendously bad for the environment.
Yeah. Like when the wine industry started to move away from corks and recognize that corks were no longer necessary. And it was sort of an antiquated notion of wine. But we do have to keep rocking here, because in 3 minutes, I have to get on with our amazing tech team.
All right.
So,
well, we talked a little bit about the lead story about the emissions. Other great stories talking about why the BLM protest didn't spike COVID cases, thinking about why that was the case and what we can learn from that. Asking if a ban on the salary history question could help close the wage gap. I think that's really important in terms of,
you know, in California, it is illegal to ask for a salary history. And I was involved in recruitment for an organization that had offices both in New York and California. And the folks on the other side of the country were pretty livid that I was unwilling to ask people what their salary history was. And I feel like it is a very, very imperative thing that we stop asking salary history, because traditionally, if a certain population, aka women, are making a large percentage less, they will continue to make a large percentage less because it is in the incentive of the employers to lowball the offers.
Yeah.
So this is a surefire way to close that wage gap.
Yeah. I mean, there's other things in there too, but I think that's a great solution story. Indians have recently planted 250 million trees while maintaining physical distance. And that was another good headline to see. There's an article about being an authentic leader and the traits that signal if you are one. Unilever's new carbon labels that are going to help consumers shop greener. New research that emphasizes the need for electric rideshare vehicles.
And lastly, we've got a back pain from too much sitting. Follow these 10 tips to help you avoid it. I have a feeling there are a few people in my house who could, should, and will read that article. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the Optimist Daily Update today. We promise to continue to share positive solution-based stories with ideas on how you can participate in this changing world and ensure it is changed for the good. We promise to cover the current events with accuracy, legitimate sources, and offer you the information needed most to chart new paths for all of us.
And please consider becoming an emissary on theoptimistdaily.com and allow us to continue to provide the free service to many more free readers, and also keep our solution generation machine going for just $5 a month. How you can support our reader-funded independent journalism and be a part of the solution-changing consciousness that addresses our world's biggest challenges with a problem-solving mindset.
Thanks, everybody. Have a fantastic day.
Thanks, Summers, and talk to y'all tomorrow.